You're listening to The Point. The HMS Nimrod in 1814 was perhaps the most feared British vessel in New England waters. She sailed our waters for just over a year, but in that time was involved in most of the naval battles and attacks that occurred in New England during the War of 1812. January 28th marks the 200th anniversary of the bombardment of Falmouth by the Nimrod, and joining us to talk about that is Tamsin George, president of the Falmouth Historical Society. Good morning.
Good morning.
And you are joining us on the phone because we don't want you out on those dangerous roadways.
Oh, exactly. And I have to think about what those poor people were doing 200 years ago. And it's kind of weird.
I know. Now, Falmouth refused to pay the British to leave the town alone, unlike some other towns on the Cape who did pay.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. Because for them, it was just in their best interest, they thought. Nantucket itself made peace with the British. They declared themselves neutral.
And that was so that they could get food in, right?
Well, and then in and out of their ports.
Right.
They could continue trading, you see, with this blockade. None of us could get anything out of our ports. We couldn't trade. And in Falmouth, it was critical.
Yeah. So Orleans also did not pay, right?
No.
Yeah. So were we the only two towns that did not?
It's a good question, and I'm not sure.
Not sure. Okay. So the
Barnstable Village.
Okay. All right. So the captain of the Nimrod demanded that Falmouth surrender to him a sloop at the town dock and the militia's two cannons. So tell us about that.
Yeah. The town had two cannon, and we had, on occasion, taken pot shots, of course, at the Nimrod. And the cannon were up along Shore Drive, although down in Woods Hole, the men went out and hassled Nimrod when they were out in their smaller boats, so that the Falmouth people were a nuisance. Mm.
So when the captain said he wanted this, I read here, Weston Jenkins, head of the militia, is said to have responded, "If you want our cannon, come and take them, but we'll give you what's in them first."
Isn't that marvelous? they had the British sent ashore a small boat under a flag of truce and said, in effect, "We're tired of your behavior, and we want your two-field cannon, and we'll take the small sloop that's at the stone dock as well." Mm. And Weston Jenkins, in effect, said no. So they proceeded back under their flag of truce to the Nimrod. The Nimrod was anchored about a quarter of a mile out. And they said, all right, before he left, he said, "We'll give you 2 hours, and then we're going to destroy your town." Actually, in the log of the Nimrod, it says literally to destroy the town. And it's just kind of chilling to read it.
Yeah, so they were intent on. Now, this is interesting because they gave them a warning of like, okay, in a couple of hours, we're going to. This was, I guess, to get women and children out of the way. Was that the idea?
Women and children pulled back and away from the coast. Now, where Nimrod was anchored, it didn't do. They could only fire about a mile in. Mm-hmm. They shot the cannonballs about a mile inshore. So if the women and children pulled back to the other side of Main Street in Falmouth Village, up toward Long Pond, they were well out of range.
Yeah. So when they were talking about destroying the town, they meant not necessarily the people, but the buildings? Is that what their intent was?
They were happy to destroy anything, and they did a huge amount of damage to our salt works.
Ah.
It really wrecked the economy that we had left going.
So this bombardment lasted 3 hours? And
it went from about noon to about 4:30.
Wow.
And I couldn't figure out why it stopped at 4:30, and then I realized, well, it's dark. Of course it's dark.
They couldn't see anymore.
So,
and what's fascinating here is nobody was killed or even hurt.
Yeah, it's amazing. It is totally amazing. And really remarkable cause for celebration that this ship spent 4.5 hours throwing 32-pound cannonballs into this town, and people weren't hit. I think they were so large, maybe you could pretty much see them coming.
Mm.
And, of course, they went over the heads of the men that were right down on the shore to prevent a landing. And so they shot the cannonballs further inland, so they mashed up some houses and all the salt works and
And so this is one of those cannonballs. That's the one that, you know, we at the Nimrod restaurant and in the men's room there, they had the cannonball that, I guess Nimrod used to be somewhere else, right?
The building that was used as the Nimrod restaurant used to be right down on Main Street. It was sort of at the corner of Shore Street and Main Street.
And so that was one of the cannons then from the Nimrod, I mean, one of the cannonballs, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And there's still this hole in the Ale March Inn also.
Ah.
Off the edge of Main Street. So actually a lot of the houses had damage. Not everybody preserved it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot just did their repairs.
Right.
So we don't have too many of the evidences, right. you know. the Historical Society itself has cannonballs, and we have a tree trunk with a cannonball in it that was taken down from the village down along Shore Street. So
I imagine there was plenty of cannonballs around, so that having a few left is not a surprise.
No, people could go out and pick them up. Apparently they used them later in as doorstops and to open the garden gate as weights, things like that. Yeah. They went around and gathered them up. That's how we know there was between 250 and 300 shot at us, because people found about 200.
Ah. Talk about the salt works, because this was a reason why some of the other towns paid the British, is because they were concerned about their salt works, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, we're fishermen, and we preserve the cod that we catch in salt, and then we can sell it because it will travel. There was a big market in salted cod. We also can salt anything to preserve it through the winter. And people right now would be getting worried, because you've got to have stuff stored away in your root cellars and frozen in your attics to get you through until June. Mm. And so salting meat, salting was a way of preserving. And also we could sell it.
Yeah.
So it's an economical thing. You could sell it. You take it on your ship, and you would go down the coast, sell it to the southern states and colonies and so on. So it was a main product that we had.
Oh. All right, so tell us about the Nimrod. The name comes from the great hunter of the Old Testament?
Yeah, people think that it's an odd name, but actually it means hunter, you know, and so there it is, and that's what it was. Hmm. There was at least five or six Nimrods over the period of time. It was a used name.
Yeah, but in this one, as I was saying at the beginning, this was really at the time the most feared ship, right?
Well, it was here for a while. The first year of the war, we didn't really have a strong blockade in New England. Mm-hmm. The British didn't have as many ships here at the beginning part of the war, and then once they took care of Napoleon, sent him off to Elba, they just brought the big ships just came over here, brought the men over here. Let's mm-hmm. wrap this thing up in the United States as well. Shape them up a little bit for having the audacity to go war against us.
All right, so tell us about the ship itself. What was it? What kind of a ship was it?
It had 18 guns. Mm-hmm. It's probably about 100, 110 feet long. Under sail. It was a brig. It's one of their patrol ships you use on the shore, not one of the great big ships of the line. The British had an extraordinary number of these great big, huge 74-gun battleships. This was not that. This is smaller with 18 guns and much more nimble for running around the coast and blockading people in harbors.
Yeah. And did it spend some time, did I read, in Tarpaulin Cove?
Oh, yeah. That's where they hung out. The Nimrod was there often, in and out, and had smaller escort vessels with her, and some of the big 74s would come in there also. Mm-hmm. So this was sort of a British base. In Tarpaulin Cove, and there were some houses there, and there's a post office there, and you could get supplies.
Hmm. Now, this happened, this bombardment of Falmouth happened in, as I said, January 28th, and wasn't it June, was it June of the same year that the attack on Wareham happened? When was that?
Yeah.
So tell us
then,
about that.
Nimrod then went down Buzzards Bay to Wareham the following June, and it affected Falmouth as well, because we had hidden some of our fishing vessels up there in Wareham. Mm-hmm. To keep them out of the way and not to be found, well, the British went into Wareham and burned our fishing boats up there. Mm. They went ashore in Wareham. They had a flag of truce, and Wareham let them come ashore, and they burned a cotton mill, really messed up the economy in Wareham also.
Were they mad? Was it still mad about what happened in Falmouth?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So they burned our boats up there. They were just an aggressive ship that was out there and was a heck of a nuisance to everybody.
All right. So we mentioned this head of the local militia. You know, he obviously had some chutzpah. So local militia were all the towns had, right? So where was the Navy in all this?
Well, there wasn't much of a Navy. If you look at it, the British had something like 154 or so battleships, and we had three big frigates, and that was it. Mm. Three. Not much to go up against the British Navy, and they ruled the ocean sea. So it was difficult. We had Constitution, and that was our big marvelous ship here, because it was built in Boston. So Constitution was our ship. Mm. And Constitution had 44 guns. So in considering your weight of armament, 44 guns against 74. There's no competition. So Constitution had to be quite careful what she took on.
Yeah. Well,
and she had to get out of the harbor of Boston. In some situations, our bigger ships, we had only three of that size, and three 38s, 36. For them to get out of the harbor, to get out to sea was a big deal.
Yeah, wow. Three against, how many did you say?
Oh, over 100.
Over 100, the odds are stacked against us.
Oh, clearly. clearly.
You were telling me something about we had our eye on Canada?
Well, yeah. See, this is the thing that people forget. The real interesting, we can talk about it sometime, very interesting as to why they actually declared war on England. They could have declared war on France almost as easily. But there was Canada, you see. Mm. And all we needed to do, Thomas Jefferson said, was to go up across the border and the Canadians would join us. Of course they would. You know, and this quote, he said, it's just a matter of marching. So we'll go up and invade Canada, and we acquire Canada. It's just like we got Louisiana. Fabulous.
Didn't work
bigger
out.
Bigger and bigger. And, of course, it didn't work.
Yeah. All right, so what have you got planned to mark this anniversary?
Now, what we have planned is this marvelous celebration dinner on Tuesday the 28th. At Coonamessett, which ought to be just fun. It's a celebration party because we survived. It's kind of a town survival party is what we're looking at. And we'll have good things happening there and a lot of fun. We'll do some other things later in the year. We're planning next June to do take the Island Queen and do a round the sound, go seek out the Nimrod down in Tarpaulin Cove, see if we can go find her there.
Yeah. What about?
We'll have a few things that connect to this, and Wareham's doing their big celebration.
Right. Yeah. What about the cannons? Don't you have some cannons in restoration? Are these cannons? Aren't you trying to restore a couple of cannons?
We do have a couple of cannons. We just brought one up from Stonington, also on just Saturday.
Are these cannons from the Nimrod?
Well, there's a question about it. Mm-hmm. They've been billed as being from the Nimrod. As having been found, they were found on Great Ledge off New Bedford Harbor. The idea was that the Nimrod ran aground there and tossed these cannon overboard to lighten their weight, so they got off. There's a whole lot of question about whether actually this is where Nimrod ran aground. Mm-hmm. Some people say that it really was in Quick's Hole. Mm-hmm. And indeed, they offloaded cannon, but into their longboats and then put them back on. Mm-hmm. You know, British Navy captain would have been reamed out of the service if he disposed of his cannon.
Right.
So that we have a lot of question about whether the two that we have now actually are Nimrod cannon. But this will be fun. We'll figure it out.
we'll try to get to the end of that mystery. All right. So we'll put a link up on our website to yours for more information on next week's celebrations.
Well, thank you. That would be fun.
Tamsin George, who's president of the Falmouth Historical Society. Thanks for joining us, Tamsin.
Well, thank you.
Appreciate it. Coming up, brain games, taking research in neuroscience and psychology and creating mind-bending experiments. We'll also have an update on the weather right after break.